If the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall seek to continue with the morning subject, the book of Isaiah, chapter 41 and the 10th verse. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The book of Isaiah, chapter 41, and the 10th verse. How good it would be if you and I could have grace all sufficient in everyday life to live in the light of such a wonderful word as this is. A word which, whatever our circumstances may be, would ever allay our fears, and it would enable us to see a shining bow in every dark cloud. We should discern to each one a silver lining. We should understand what the hymn writer does mean. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take, the clouds ye so much dread are big with mercies, and shall break in blessing on your head. Alas, dear friends, when the matter is weighed up, whether it be the preacher or any of you who hope in God, we're very poor lot, very poor specimens of what people who are pilgrims to Canaan bound really ought to be. Because when all is said and done, God has guaranteed to be our God. What could you desire more in everyday life than to do as I said, live in the light of this truth? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am aware of every detail of what is happening to you, every jot and tittle, whether it emanate from earth or hell, whatever may oppose you, I know it. I have made all provision to deal with it. I have guaranteed you a safe conduct, that having begun the good work in you, I will carry it on. I will complete it, and you shall find it to be with you as it was with Israel of old. To the land of Canaan they went forth, and to the land of Canaan they came. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And now, taking up the subject again, not going over the ground taken up in the morning sermon, only to link up, as it were, as you ponder this subject, and I do hope you do ponder the subjects that are given out and which one attempts to unfold as grace is given, you ponder it in your heart from your own viewpoint of it. And now it may be, as you are here before God, there is some special matter that is a matter of great importance to you, important in your everyday life. It may be to do with you, or your family circle, or your business. It may be something which is to do with what may be on the morrow, and you are dismayed. And now, you will be dismayed more and more if you look at your circumstances as they appear to be in all their complications, and allow your thoughts to dwell upon them as to what may be the outcome, how shall we do in this matter and in that. This is the root of all our trouble. The Word of God tells us the just shall live by faith. And you and I, if we are taught of God, we have got to learn, do listen. I say we have got to learn to be content with such things as we have. And if we have God to be our God, surely you and I should be content with that sweet, blessed knowledge. You may say, I am not as sure as I should like to be that God is my God. Well, if the God revealed in the Word of grace and he who speaks in the text before us to the Israel of God is not your God, who is? You see, everyone beneath the sun has got a God, but the great majority have got a little G God. The great I that dwells inside, self, the little G God. And now, is that little G God your God? Or do you see the God who does say to poor sinners, fearful hearted sinners, fear thou not, for I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And now I want to look at that. You will remember I said just a little about how it might be known that the presence of God was with us. I touched on one or two characteristics, and I said that if God was our God and the presence of God was with us, you would find that the things of God would be uppermost in your thoughts and attractive to you. And you would feel that above all things beneath the sun, you would desire, like the hymn writer, to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. Another characteristic I just hinted at was that the Word of God would be very attractive to us also. You may read it. I hope you do. You may read it day by day. But when the presence of God is with you, oh, what a difference there is in looking into the sacred pages then, than when you just read a chapter here and a chapter there, and it seems just cold, black and white letterpress in the reading of it. Oh, when you are helped to read the Word of God and feel he who is the author of it is granting you a little light thereon, you feel thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And as you get something making plain the dealings of God with you in your own soul's experience, you can say with Jeremiah, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I like to think of those words of Jeremiah's, and I have sometimes reminded you how he uttered them. He was inspired of God to record them, and he says, thy words, plural, were found, and I did eat them, and thy word, singular, was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And now, thy words mean the written word. Thy words, the written word, were found, and I did eat them. And thy word, he, of whom the word of God tells, the incarnate word, he who declared to his disciples, in the volume of the book it is written of me, thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And remember how the hymn writer prays, and he goes right down to that bedrock truth, divine instructor, gracious Lord, O be forever near, help me to read thy sacred word and find my Saviour there. And when you find through the word of God being opened up to you, that you can feel in the reading of it, it is good for me to draw near unto God, that is a sure sign you have an interest in this word before us. Fear thou not, whatever your case, your circumstances may be, for I am with thee. And now there is another viewpoint of the presence of God being known and felt, and that is when you feel what you do not always feel, that you can draw near to God and you can realize a sweet access at the throne of grace and be like the woman in the gospel when falling down at Jesus' feet, she told him all the truth. Oh, when I was a lad at school, we used to sing, I often say my prayers. But do I ever pray? Do the feelings of my heart go with the words I say? And now when you realize the presence of God, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And oh, how good it is when you can feel that sweet nearness to God. The people of God are said by the psalmist to be a people near unto him. But alas, too often in our attempts to pray, it seems so cold and formal, and there is not that sweet realization of nearness that our souls desire to know more about. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Another characteristic of the presence of God will be that although you may have many concerns in this life, you will find deep down in your heart there is a feeling like this: Jesus, engrave it on my heart that thou the one thing needful art. I would from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. You will live in that word, unto you therefore which believe he is precious. You will taste that the Lord is gracious. Yes, fear thou not, for I am with thee. And just another characteristic of the presence of God being with you. You will have, maybe, trouble like a gloomy cloud gathering thick and thundering loud. And you may have varied reactions to it. You may have many fears. You may stand much in need of this fear thou not. But when you realize at length the presence of God, all that you feel in your churnings up within will be subdued, and your great concern will be that the troubles that you're in, whatever may be the outcome, you do want them to be overruled for your soul's peace and profit. You say with the psalmist, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Oh, it is good, dear friends, to know the sweetness of sanctified trouble, to be able to say, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Martin Luther said in one of his writings that affliction gave him a new Bible. A new Bible. Yet he was reading just the same one that he had read all the while before. But he could see in the sacred pages where the Word of God had been made a reality in his soul's experience. He could see the why and the wherefore of the dealings of God with him. He was instructed in righteousness. And so you will see it as you realize the Lord's presence. Much might be said along that line of thought. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. How good it is to feel in thy presence I am happy. In thy presence I am secure. In thy presence all affliction I can easily endure. And now I look at the subject from this viewpoint. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And now when a sinner is born again, and you might ponder the question as to whether you are, you know I wish all you dear people the blessing of the Lord for time and eternity too, whether in life's morning, afternoon or evening time, but I'm bound to question you. And I say, when a sinner is born again, he then awakes to a solemn awareness of his utter helplessness in things divine. And he is made to realize that earth and hell are conspiring together to hinder him following on to know the Lord. And he turns his eyes within, and there he sees an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I have often thought of our hymn writer when he speaks of the enemies of people taught of God, and he says, mighty enemies without, much mightier within. And now you might think on that prayerfully. Earth and hell are without, but what you are by nature within is one much mightier. And that is a very solemn truth. And when you get old and grey-headed, you go yet deeper down into the knowledge of it. Turn again, Son of Man, and thou shalt see greater iniquities than these. And now these things have got this tendency to dismay you. If you just look at these things as they are before your eyes, you look within and you see how sad our state by nature is. But then this word of the Lord is to encourage you, pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower and you be more dismayed than ever. Look to Jesus, kind and strong. Pity joined with power. Yes, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. You look at the world without. You see its chaos and confusion. You discern that the wicked are doing wickedly. And you wonder, as you look forward in life's journey, how matters will be as the years unfold before you and yours. And if you let your thoughts go you will be dismayed at the outlook. But then, you are not to judge by the outlook. You are to judge by the uplook. When the outlook is not good, you must try the uplook. What did David say? I will look up. And you must do likewise, as grace is given. And there you will see. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Are you dismayed by what you see in the world about you? Says Jesus Christ to poor sinners like you. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Do you look around it and see hell let loose? And see the devil working overtime to do all the mischief he can while he can? Be not dismayed. It's still the word of the Lord to you. For I am thy God. In this was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Do you look within and feel dismayed at what you see there? From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it. Wounds and bruises, putrefying sores. God has made provision for all that you are by nature, and you, being the sinner that you feel to be not dismayed, for I am thy God. In that day there shall be a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Jesus' blood through earth and skies, mercy, eternal mercy, cries. Whatever it is that causes you dismay, if you are helped to look up, you will see there is a God-given remedy to grant you sweet, blessed relief. You will learn oil and wine to heal and cherish. Jesus still to Israel gives, nor shall e'er a sinner perish who in his dear name believes. Oh, how much there is as you journey on through life that makes you feel dismayed. But the great thing is not to fall a prey to it, and not, as it were, to settle down in a dismayed state, but to remember there is help in God, hope in God. Yes, you may feel dismayed because you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And you may have terrifying thoughts about it, lest in some evil hour you will fall a prey and bring a reproach upon your profession of the name of Jesus, which you have made. And yet, if you weigh this word up, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, you will find a word to help you. He can succor them that are tempted. He understands your temptations in every detail. He knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. And what do you sing? Oh, if you would only reduce to practice what you sing, you would be in a much happier state often in your feelings before God and man. Trust in him, ye tempted saints. Tell him all your sad complaints. He a present help will be, give you strength and victory. Be not dismayed. I know the outlook may be very gloomy. There may be much that you feel, I cannot help but be dismayed. But then, you are to read this in its proper connection. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Whatever it is, within or without, that will dismay you, I understand it in every jot and tittle. I have made provision for you to be delivered out of it. Yes. And if you feel dismayed regarding the future, what it may hold in store for you, there is one way in which you will understand it in the unfolding of it. Step by step, as you go on, the way will open up before you. When we cannot see our way, let us trust and still obey. He who bids us forward go will not fail the way to show. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And now, you may be dismayed because there may be things that come into your life which you little look for. You never dreamed that they would ever arise. Things that to you are hard to be understood. And yet, as they have come into your lives, you have got to remember, first of all, they did not come by chance, nor are they haphazard. But you have got to realize there is an overruling providence that wisely marshals every circumstance. Some of us who are old and grey-headed look back over the way God has led us along, and in his early dealings with us there were some things hard to be understood. I thought it was hard to be understood when I was climbing up the top of the ladder in the printing profession, and then my health broke down altogether with lead poisoning, and I had to give it up and begin my life over again. And yet, I look back to see how, although I felt dismayed as to what the future held in store, God had got a future planned for me, and he made me what I hope I am, one of his own ministers, to be upon Zion's walls all the long time. He has helped me to preach the gospel to you as a people. I think that word in Jeremiah is very instructive, and I'd like you to think of that. It might be a help to some of you sometime, you dear young people, as your life unfolds before you. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as with this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." You see, in your early life you've got your pleasant picture, a lawful ambition, a profession it may be, you desire to be in as long as you live, according to how you feel then, in your youth. But the vessel is marred in the hands of the potter. The pleasant picture is not allowed to come to full fruition. But the potter, the heavenly potter, makes another vessel as seems good to him to make it. And instead of I having the desire of my soul fulfilled to be a printer, God allowed the vessel to be marred and then made of me a preacher of his own gospel. And now you think on things from that viewpoint. when there are things arising in your life. Maybe you were brought to a standstill, and then you have to say, our eyes are up unto thee. You want then to be inside that word, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. But be not dismayed at what the future may unfold, for I am thy God, and you will be helped to realize he is the sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise. You will say, as he works things out for you, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command, and how glad you will be that they are there. Oh, it is a wonderful mercy when you can feel that God is overruling your life as you live it, and the government should be upon his shoulder. When you can see, shines the whole providence of God with love divinely bright, and whether he gives, withholds, or takes, all is supremely right. But you have got to come to this. You have got to be the clay in the potter's hand and be willing to be molded to what is will, what God seems good to make you, as you journey on through life, that you may serve him in whatever sphere he may ordain. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. It may be some of you are dismayed, and you may be farther on in life's journey. You might even be coming on toward the end of it. And when you look back and call to remembrance the former days, you can remember how God dealt with you, and he gave you things that may be outstanding in your soul's experience. But many days have passed since then. Many changes you have seen. And nowadays in your soul's experience, you often feel far, far from those good days that you enjoyed when God began to deal with you first of all. And sometimes you are dismayed that you feel as you do, in contrast with what you know you did feel in the early dealings of God with you, when you did live near to God, and when Jesus Christ was precious in your soul's esteem. And now you're, alas, so often feelingly at the ends of the earth, and when you try to pray, you have to begin, leave not my soul destitute, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And when you think on this contrast, you're dismayed. And yet this word is still recorded to encourage you, even though you feel as you do. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And now think again of what you sing. All thy ways I will repair. Thou shalt be rebuilt. Mark that word in. The hymn writer has hit the nail on the head. Rebuilt anew. And in thee it shall appear what a God of love can do. I will restore to you the years which the locust and the caterpillar and the cankerworm and the palmer worm hath eaten. And the Saviour said to his disciples, ye now therefore have sorrow. I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. Oh, how much might be said from this viewpoint of the subject. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And now you may be dismayed because you have asked God to be your God. You have asked him for quite a while that he would make it known that he is indeed your God. But as yet, you have not got what your soul desires. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to conclude then there is no help for you in God? No hope? Oh, but then there must be something that you taste and feel at times that should give you encouragement to wait on God. O Lord, if thy covenant design no blessing of mercy for me, then tell me how is it I find some sweetness in waiting for thee? And you have got here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, in your soul's experience, but as yet you cannot climb up to that blessed height, my Lord, my God, and yet he is your God. You could not feel as you do. Otherwise, what you feel does not proceed from the flesh, does not arise from what you are by nature. No, it is what you are by grace. The root of the matter is found within you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And now let us look at this beautiful summing up, as it were. I will strengthen thee. And now you must read that as it is recorded in the Word of God. You must not read your own thoughts into it. You must not read it like this: I will make thee strong. And that is, you must not think God will fulfill that word so that you feel like a giant refreshed in facing the duties and difficulties of everyday life, and that you have got some surplus strength, some grace to spare. No, no, it can never, never be. What saith the scripture? My grace is sufficient for thee. And that means, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You have got to learn what it means. My strength is made perfect in weakness, and out of weakness we're made strong. It is a very humbling life to live, and yet it is the life that God has ordained. The just shall live by faith. And you learn, Jesus is the way of strength. Yet the strong this way can't come, and the Lord will prove at length weaklings have the victory won. I will strengthen thee. And now look that word in the face, dear friends, each of you who hope in God. It must be that this word has been fulfilled to you, that you have found what you are and where you are this Sabbath afternoon. Some of you have journeyed far in life's way. You have seen troubles not a few. You have been brought to wit's end many times, and you have had to realize all your wisdom is swallowed up. But you have proved this. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Did you mark how that was worded? Four times in the Psalm 107 as I read it. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. You cry unto the Lord in your trouble. And they did in their trouble. And you find all who were taught of God have got their trouble, and they only get relief as they're helped to wait on God and seek His divine aid. In themselves as weak as worms, how can poor believers stand when temptations pose and storms press them close on every hand? Weak indeed they feel they are, but they know the throne of grace, and the God who answers prayer helps them when they seek His face. And now, you really must tell the truth. As you are here before God, this word has been fulfilled to you, and yet it may be this Sabbath afternoon you feel as weak as ever you did before God regarding His dealings with you, and yet you have lived your life hitherto since you were born again inside this declaration, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Did ever trouble yet before, and God refused to hear thy call? Much might be said along that line of thought. And now, regarding this strength and this help, how is it obtained? The Word of God says, I will be inquired of by you, O house of Israel, to do these things. And you know, as you look back over the way you have come along, many a time in a secret place by day, and many times on your bed by night, you have sought divine aid. Yes? And what have you found? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And thus it is, by the grace of God, you are what you are and where you are. Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. And the word of the Lord in Jeremiah is applicable. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward. And that is how you come to be in the attitude of worship. For if you came aright, you came asking the way to Zion, which is to say you were seeking some further waymark to set up therein, some fresh evidence that you are indeed a pilgrim to Canaan bound. I will strengthen thee. Look at the I will, and think who it is that declares it. The God of Israel, with whom you and I have to do. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. And you know, in the means of grace, here a little and there a little, He has strengthened you. He has helped you. If you were to try to sit down and reckon up what God has done for you, you would not get it done this day or tomorrow. There is a tendency, I have observed it, I'm making no reflections on any of you. I say I have observed it. There is a tendency, and I'm sure the devil will assist people in it, and that is for people who are indeed taught of God and real heaven-bound pilgrims to belittle their religion and call into question what in reality is their soul's experience, and of which it can be said, what hath God wrought? I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will uphold thee. And now, who can sink with such a prop as holds the world and all things up. The meaning is, and he led them forth by the right way. And surely, surely, if you say what you ought to say concerning the dealings of God, you will admit that the way you have come along is indeed the right way. Whatever difficulties you have met therein, whatever troubles have made you oft times dismayed, whatever fears have arisen as to how you would endure, yet you must admit this. Our good guide and Saviour has helped us thus far, and 'tis by his favour we are what we are. And regarding tomorrow, you must remember, God guarantees tomorrow that he will be to you what you have found him to be yesterday and today. Seeing he is Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And now, dear friends, oh, that God would grant to you and to me grace all sufficient to live out our lives in the light of this truth. And whatever the future may unfold, do remember, should poverty or loss of all created good conspire to make our weighty cross, our helper still is God. Amen.